That time again for Little House on the Prairie with the Schleckies. Or Thinking Real Estate.
Well, and the prairie was pretty blowy yesterday, windy.
Good morning.
So we thought we would talk about wind damage.
You know, Greg, you know the neighbor that has all the trees and the leaves blow into your yard?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's me.
So whose leaves are they, and who's got the responsibility to pick them up?
I'm afraid it's yours.
So if they're my leaves, I go in your yard and rake them?
I've actually encountered this one where the neighbor actually, because the trees were on the neighbor's property, and the one neighbor didn't have much in the way of trees, but all the leaves or a lot of leaves blew over into the neighbor's yard. What the neighbor did was hire a yard service and tell the yard service, go ahead and just put them over the fence back onto the yard where the trees are located. And the neighbor with the trees found out about this, that they were doing that, and have a formal conversation with the neighbor about it. And the neighbor said, well, they're your trees, they're your leaves, you know, you got to take care of them. So I had to disabuse the neighbor by saying, hey, look, this is what Michigan law is. First of all, I want you to identify each leaf that you threw back onto my client's property. But more importantly, you know, to identify that they're from their trees. But more importantly, Michigan law says that in that instance where it's a naturally occurring event, the leaves going across on somebody else's property, you have the right of, quote, self-help, end quote, which is to remove the leaves yourself. You don't have the right to put them back onto the property where the trees are located. But can you imagine somebody doing that? Well, that's like
you know, I'm afraid I can.
I got a personal experience on this one where our neighbor, the it doesn't relate to leaves, but the trees that are on our property, you know, they've been there. So this house was built back in the 1920s. The trees are great big trees, some oaks, some other trees, and he ended up filing a claim. We had to file a lawsuit against him for blocking the joint driveway, so he files a counterclaim claiming that the roots from the trees on our property are encroaching onto his property, and that was a violation of law. The judge laughed at that particular
claim. So that's
claim.
Not a violation of law?
No, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's out of your control, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's nuts. If they want to excavate and they cut the root of the tree, they're entitled to do that. The root goes across the property line, but it's not an encroachment by the neighbor who's got the tree on their property. Now, there's a different issue, and that is, and we encountered this one, where a tree is on a neighbor's property. I encountered this actually several times, but I'll give you.
You mean for clients too?
Yeah. The one is where the tree is on the property and it falls. You know, we had this, 50 mile an hour winds yesterday.
If a tree falls in the woods, does somebody hear it?
So anyway, so the big branch fell off of a tree and that damaged the garage on the adjoining property, adjacent property. And so now it's like $4,000 for repair of the garage. So a claim is made against the neighbor who has the tree where the limb fell. Well, here's what the law says. The law says that if the neighbor does not have any reason to believe that the tree constitutes a hazard, where a limb might fall or the tree might fall, et cetera, then the neighbor whose tree it is has no liability. It's an act of God. It's an act of nature. However, if the neighbor who has the tree knows or believes, reasonably believes, that it constitutes a hazard to others, either on the property or off the property, in this case off the property, then the property owner who has the tree has liability for the damage. And in fact, in this particular case, research revealed that the municipality had sent a letter to the property owner with the tree saying, you have a dead hazardous tree, and you are required by the municipal ordinance to remove the tree. So in that case, a claim was made, successfully made, against the insurance company for the owner of the tree. And another one where...
If it's an insurance claim like that, does that owner have to pay the deductible? The person where the tree fell on their property doesn't pay the deductible. It's the property owner who has the tree on their property.
Very good question and a very good answer. You're exactly right on that. Deductible that, let's suppose there's a $500 deductible, that's not paid by the garage owner whose garage was damaged by the tree. It's paid by the tree owner. He's got, because that's his insurance company. He's got to pay the deductible.
Yeah, I mean, because we had an instance on a property we bought, and because we both had the same insurance company, the guy that we bought the property from backed into the steps with his vehicle, obviously by accident, because we had the same insurance, we got hit with the depreciation.
The deductible.
There's a depreciated value to property when it has to be repaired, and we got hit with the depreciation. We could only get the depreciated value.
Yeah, but that makes sense because you're the owner of the property.
Yeah, but we didn't do the damage, and it would only happen because we had the same insurance company.
I'm not sure that that's...
Because I didn't think it sounded fair. I didn't think we should get hit with, because we...
No, you only get what the value of the damage is, and if the property is determined to be depreciated, you'd only get the depreciated value of it. You don't get the full replacement value. That has nothing to do with having the same insurance company. Not that I'm aware of.
All right.
But the other one I want to tell you
about. That's good insurance guy.
This is one where I get a call from a property owner out in a rural area, which is heavily wooded. And the one neighbor has come to this guy and said, hey, you've got a tree that's overhanging a path. These are large parcels, 10-acre parcels. And the one neighbor says, you've got a tree that's overhanging a path around my property, right along the property line, and it's dead, and there's a chance that a limb's going to fall off of it. And I want you to remove the tree or remove the limb so that when I'm walking on the path, I won't get injured by that limb if it falls, et cetera.
Wait, somebody came to you as an attorney for this?
Yes.
Do they... Okay.
Because I have the expertise.
Yeah, okay.
So there was an easy solution to that one, Greg. You know what the solution was? Because the cost to take down the tree, you're looking at
a couple
grand.
Yeah.
So what's the solution there? Laura?
Cut the limb.
No. No.
What?
Change your path. Don't walk underneath the limb.
Oh.
I mean, that was a simple solution. I mean, come on, so you got to know that there's a hazard. There's a dead limb above a path. Well, how do you handle that? Well, you just don't walk underneath it.
So who owns the path? The guy doing the walking?
Yeah. So I know it was right along the boundary.
But he has the ability to take a chainsaw and trim that limb off.
Absolutely.
Right? So if it's if there's something overhanging onto my property, I can cut anything that's overhanging onto my property.
Absolutely.
And I don't need permission from the owner, the person that owns that tree where the trunk is. If it's not on my property, I don't need their permission.
That's correct.
And I can't rake those leaves and put them over the fence because they came from their tree.
Right.
That happened to us up north, didn't it?
Yeah, it happened to us, and I've had that. I've also had that some other
but,
time.
But, Bill, go.
Yeah.
Go back to the garage story, though, where you had the garage damage. Now, had the municipality not issued that order, then is that going to court before a judge? Who's making the decision that, there was danger there?
Yeah, that would have to go before a court to determine whether or not the owner of the dead tree reasonably believed that it constituted a hazard either to people on that property or the adjacent property. So now, at that point, because the cost of repair is $4,000 and it would cost more than that to go to court and litigate it, at that point, you bite the bullet and you just take it to your own insurance company. All you're trying to do is make certain that it doesn't go on your insurance policy because that will stick with you and your rates will increase.
Well, and can you, like, if you knew the tree, so it would behoove somebody who knows that there's a dead tree on the neighbor's house that's overhanging. I had a call from a constituent. City owns a vacant lot. There's a couple of huge trees that have dying limbs, and the neighbor had called and said, complained to the city about the trees, and lo and behold, limbs fell and busted his fence. So the city has now gone in and cleaned up, and I think his insurance was paying for the fence. I didn't think insurance covered outside elements like fences and stuff. Sure. Maybe well, that's just one thing we don't have on our insurance. But
I don't know the answer off the top of my head. But what you started to say was, does it behoove you as the neighbor if your neighboring property has a hazardous tree on it or some other hazard to report it to the city? Absolutely, the municipality.
Right, yeah. Or even to send a letter to the neighbor and saying, you got some trees that are concerning me. Because I've had this a few times as an elected official where the neighbors have complained about neighboring trees extending over that don't look healthy and yada yada, whether it's a vacant lot or whether somebody actually lives in the house.
Yeah, but sending a letter, just all it does, you're not, as Greg's point out, you're not the judge, so.
No, but you have proof. You keep a copy, right?
What's the proof of?
That you notified them of the hazardous tree?
Yeah, but are you a tree expert?
No.
Okay. So,
by far, no.
So I want an inspector from the municipality to come out and, you know.
So report it to the municipality.
Yeah, report it to the municipality so the municipality can issue not a citation, but just a letter. First, it says you got 30 days to remove the hazard. And then if they don't, then at least if something bad happens, you've got something in the municipal file where somebody else has made a determination that it constitutes a hazard.
What happens if you've contacted the municipality, tree falls before the municipality gets out there?
Well, it's just like what Greg said before. Now you've got an issue that somebody has to make a determination whether it constituted a hazard, although the fact that it fell, the fact that you can tell that it's dead, I mean, even though it's ex post facto after the fact, you still ought to be able to determine it's a hazard.
So does the municipality have liability if it's one of their trees?
You're dreaming.
So if the municipality,
the
like
king,
Jackson,
governmental
goes out,
immunity, the king can do no wrong.
Oh. Well, that's what you tell me.
Yeah. Okay.
So the other thing I wanted to point out is that some people go ahead and burn within certain municipalities, and they can't. You know, like even Summit Township, I'm not sure that you can burn in Summit Township, and people will do that. And I've got something here. Open burning regulation in Michigan says that prohibited open burning of grass clippings and leaves in Michigan municipalities with population of 7,500 or more is prohibited.
Yeah, I know many municipalities have ordinances against burning of anything.
Yeah, and I asked you that because Taos is probably only 3,000 people.
Yeah, but they have an ordinance.
But they have an ordinance. So burning of your grass clippings. So what if I have a fire pit and I'm just burning a piece of wood? I can do that, right?
Yeah, fire pit.
Unless there's a fire pit ordinance, which I think the city has some kind
of
ordinance.
Since we're all going to do outdoor dining for Thanksgiving,
right.
You better be able to do a fire pit.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah, what else?
Open burning is prohibited in population 75 and over, or if there's 7,500 or over, and if there's an ordinance.
Also in municipalities with an ordinance.
Yeah.
Right. And also, leaf, you know, maintaining of your yard, grass cutting, all that sort of stuff, most municipalities have an ordinance with respect to maintenance of the landscape. You know, so that we don't have invasive or noxious weeds or species invading within the within the neighborhood. Okay.
And then, of course, the city of Jackson is doing leaf pickup this year, and they're behind a couple days, I think, because they had some equipment issues. But they're doing a nice job of combining the old way with the new way.
What's the new way?
So the new way, a couple of years ago, I think it was a couple of years ago, the before I was on council, they bought a leaf sucker.
Yeah.
Which took a long time.
We call it a leaf vacuum, not a leaf sucker.
And then, but they used to take front end loader, and put them in it. So they're doing both this year.
Yeah, well, I would hope so, because the leaf vacuum took forever.
Forever.
And they didn't get through the job before it started snowing.
Yeah.
Right. I get it.
So they're utilizing all their equipment. So.
Yeah. Hey, on a totally different subject, Greg, I had mentioned that there was a bill proposed to extend the period of time for remote notarization so that you do not have to go down to a bank or to the title company, et cetera, to get a document notarized. And, in fact, legislation was signed last week by Governor Whitmer, which extends the period for remote notarization through December 31, and it may get extended beyond that because it's working very, very well. And the reason I mentioned that, or I guess it's particularly relevant now in light of the governor's new restrictions, which are being imposed effective in 2 days. So the ability to do remote notarization is going to help anybody that's got to sign a deed or an affidavit. I've got affidavits being signed today by clients out in Idaho, and we'll use remote notarization under the new statute.
And so how is, with the order that happened yesterday, is that going to affect real estate at all, do you think?
No, there were 14 bullet points in the order issued yesterday. No indoor dining at bars and restaurants, no group fitness classes. Ice skating rinks have to be closed. No casinos.
Even outdoor ice skating rinks?
No, indoor skating.
Rinks.
Stadiums, arenas, shutdown of high school sports, shutdown of high schools, remote learning only, shutdown.
But not elementary grade. Kindergarten to eighth grade is still.
Just at high schools.
Yeah.
Shutdown.
Although
of
Northwest
colleges
schools.
And remote. I mean, fairly broad, and it goes through December 8th. So, Greg, have you heard anything more about what the restrictions are?
No, I think you hit most of them there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pick, I think it was 14 bullet points that I pulled up this morning.
Retail's still open, thank God, because we're doing Artitude. Artitude opens on Friday, the 20th.
Yeah, but don't forget what I talked about last week or the week before, which is the statute adopted in Michigan that affords businesses an ability to avoid liability for COVID-19 if they follow the prescribed guidelines from the CDC, from the state health department, and any local health departments.
Which is
so,
what?
Social distancing, wearing masks. I'd even, for Artitude, anybody that's entering, I'd do a quick temperature check with the forehead temperature gun, insist that everybody wear masks, require even set up tape so that everybody stays 6 feet apart. That stuff, I'm telling you, as a lawyer, the ability to avoid liability for exposure to COVID-19 is going to be a big thing coming up here. You're going to see tons and tons of lawsuits by people who were adversely affected by COVID-19 if they can trace where they got it. And so you just want to make certain that you're in compliance with us.
So I noticed that in restaurants we're having to give them our name and phone number so that if something happens in the restaurant.
For tracing.
For tracing. How long do they keep that information? Just 2 weeks?
No, I think they keep it longer than that. I don't know the answer to that, but you want to make certain that you've got that. But Starbucks, for example, they shut down the inside seating because they didn't want to have to keep track of it. Claiming that it was too complicated or too difficult. It's really not. It's just a piece of paper you give to any patron who's there sitting inside, and you have them put down their name and a phone number and an email, and that way they can do contact tracing. They're very simple. I mean, it's nothing that serious.
So, Greg, you're going to come to Artitude and get all your Christmas shopping done, right?
Certainly.
When does Artitude start?
It starts Friday, November 20th through December 24th.
Where is it?
At the old Vermeulens building.
What hours?
That's a good question.
You're putting it on and you don't know?
Well, Jackie takes care of it. I think it's 11 to 7 or...
Is Jackie here?
I don't know. You'd have to... I don't want to yell in Greg's ear. Well, hold on 1 second. Hold on. Not here. So I think it's 11 to 7, but you can go to attitudejackson.com to get a list of the vendors and the time. If you're, we do have a couple of booths still available, so if you're interested in displaying your art, selling your art, or you have some specialty items that are kind of, that are cool, then please contact us, attitudejackson.com. But yeah, it should be a good time and a little you know, I think that it'll be a great place for people to shop and not have the fear of being exposed to groups of people.
Yeah. I mean, you are doing social distancing, requiring masks.
Yeah.
Okay, one entrance coming in or two?
I think one.
Okay. And somebody checking people in?
Yeah.
All right. Thoroughly.
Yep.
Greg, can you tell that I'm paranoid about COVID-19?
No, come on.
I am. I'll tell you what. It's surging everywhere. So it's something to be cognizant of.
It is. Hey, we're out of time, Laura.
Okay. I'd love to help you with your real estate needs. Whether you're buying or selling, you should be thinking real estate. So call Laura Schlechte, 780-3800, and come down to Artitude.